Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
This podcast was produced on Wednesday, August 20th at 11:49 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like now that OSU has banned chalking on campus, it'll ban students from using red duct tape to cover every M on campus on Michigan Week. Consistency is important. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who say they did not plan on running until they announce they are running again. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, more on that chalking controversy. But first, former Senator Sherrod Brown made it official this week.
I didn't plan to run for office again, but when I see what's going on, I know I can do something about it for Ohio. That's why I'm running for Senate. Because even in these challenging times, I still believe if you stand up for workers, treat people with respect, and always fight for Ohio, you can actually make a difference. Join our campaign.
With a campaign video and email early Monday morning, the former U.S. Senator announced he would indeed take on current U.S. Senator John Husted next year. The announcement ends speculation that Brown would run for governor. The move makes Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer very happy. He lobbied Brown to help Democrats win back the U.S. Senate, or at least try to. The move disappoints some Democrats in Ohio and some labor leaders who think that Brown would have had the best chance of beating Vivek Ramaswamy in the race for governor. To digest this decision and look at what it means for the 2026 Ohio election, we turn to a panel of State House vets. State House reporters Laura Bischoff of the USA Today Ohio Network and Andrew Tobias of Signal Statewide. Also, Republican strategist Terry Casey and OSU political scientist Herb Asher. Herb Asher, is this a good move for Sherrod Brown? Is this a good move for Ohio Democrats?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And for Sherrod, he loves the Senate. And being governor is a very different kind of job. I don't know how much he would really love that, but I think in the Senate, he gets to work on national and state issues that benefit lots of people, whether it's pension issues, whether it's Social Security fairness issues, things like that. And I think he has a better chance of becoming senator than governor. The Senate race will be so important that no matter how much money Husted raises, Sherrod will be able to raise a ton of money also. And for him now, he gets a chance to run against the incumbent. And so when you think about it, John Husted has a voting record, including a voting record on the big, beautiful budget bill or whatever, which will actually at some point be inflicting lots of pain on people. So there's an obvious set of issues now for Sherrod Brown to go after Husted or whatever.
Andrew Tobias, with the labor leaders, were they disappointed? We saw some quotes that they had said they would lay in the groundwork for a run for governor, and then Brown decided to go for Senate.
Yeah, I kind of perceived that to be, labor was instrumental in helping Kathleen Clyde become the Ohio Democratic Party chair. That was Sherrod Brown's pick. I think traditionally the governor candidate gets to pick the leader of the party. And I think labor is very concerned about Ramaswamy's record on labor issues. I think they see him as more of an existential threat right now. Having a strong governor candidate would help Democrats kind of immeasurably in Ohio, having things like appointments, regulations, and kind of have more of a direct effect on people's lives here, even though obviously being in the Senate, you have a chance to impact people's lives as well.
You know, Laura, Sherrod Brown was a congressman before he was in the Senate, then even from there to Senate. I just had a hard time envisioning him as governor. Do you think Ohio voters would have felt the same way, do you think?
I'm not sure, but I think that what was attractive about running for governor is that then you get a four-year term and you don't have to run again in 2 years.
Yep.
Because Husted was appointed to an opening, they both have to, whoever is the winner has to run again. And, running a statewide campaign is a massive grind. I also think this is going to be pretty much an epic fight between these two candidates. They both have long resumes of public service and politics, and they both have the ability to raise just an enormous amount of money. So it's going to be a, and also the balance of the control of the Senate is in balance.
So Terry, this will be a,
two well-known Ohio politicians with long records of public service. It'll be an issue-oriented campaign. They're going to stick to the issues and the high ground. There won't be any negative ads, right?
There'll be tons of ads, and the contrast will be interesting because suddenly John Husted is the outsider, the fresh face, a guy who's not spent decades and decades and decades in Congress.
And he's also been in office for close to three decades in Ohio.
Fresh is a
relative term.
I understand that, but still, he's much younger, and today's Washington Post, hardly a right-wing organ, made the point that Schumer is trying to go for a lot of old faces, and some people, like the Montana senator, said no to running because he said it's time for some new blood. So there's some interesting contrasts. And by the way, OSU might want to consider switching to becoming a commercial station for next year because the TV ad buys are going to be huge, and OSU could attract millions of dollars that way.
Well, that'd be nice. I don't think that's happening. Herb, I always say politicians choose to run, choose not to run, based on whether they can win or not.
Yeah.
John Husted, he ran statewide in 2010, Secretary of State. Then he ran with Mike DeWine. Well, started running against Mike DeWine, opted for Lieutenant Governor, then ran with him the last couple times. He hasn't run himself statewide in 15 years.
That's true.
Is it that Brown thinks he has a better chance against Husted than Ramaswamy?
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think part of it goes back to the money that, you know, Ramaswamy will have whatever he needs. And if Sherrod were running for governor, it'd be a little bit more difficult to raise money. You know, the U.S. Senate now is more in play than it was a month ago because Tom Tillis of North Carolina is not running for re-election. Roy Cooper, the former governor of North Carolina, is running for that seat. So that could be very easily a Democratic pickup. And if Sherrod could win, that would be a pickup for the Democrats. And now they're down to 51-49. And so I think the Senate became more attractive with the greater chance of maybe being in the majority. I think the Republicans are still favored. So I think Sherrod chose the race that was more favorable for him, but also a situation. You know, imagine being the Democratic governor of Ohio with a Republican legislature like we have. In other states where
that's like being the Republican governor of Ohio with the legislature that we have.
and literally in other states when that happened, including North Carolina and Kentucky, the legislature said, hey, we're going to take your powers away.
Yeah.
No more appointment powers for U.S. Senate, and we'll take away some of your budget powers.
All right, let's get to the governor's race. With Sherrod Brown's decision, other Democrats have some deciding to do, namely former Congressman Tim Ryan. Earlier this year, he said he was considering a run for governor. Now his spokesman says Ryan has a renewed and heightened interest in running. Of course, Democrats already have one candidate, former Health Director Amy Acton. The question is, if Ryan joins the race, do they fight it out in a primary, or does one of them drop out to run for lieutenant governor? Acton this week released a list of Democrats who have endorsed her, and she touted internal polling that shows her what she says is tied with Ramaswamy. Andrew Tobias, do we have any kind of timeline? We're waiting forever for Sherrod Brown to make his decision. Any timeline on when Tim Ryan's going to decide?
I think it's somewhere, but not necessarily in the next couple of weeks or so. But I mean, I'm just maybe it's wishful thinking just so that we can have resolution on this and not spend months talking about it like we did about Sherrod Brown. But yeah, I don't know how seriously Ryan was considering running for this office. I think there was at some point the conventionalism coalesced around Sherrod Brown's going to run for governor. So I think for Ryan, it was easy to say, oh, I'm thinking about running for whatever, and just kind of have his name out there. But now it's a more of like a time for choosing because it's a more tangible situation that he has to decide. So we've seen him in the past tease running for statewide office and pass on it. He finally did it in 2022 when his congressional district got drawn out. So we'll see what he thinks here. But I don't think Democrats would be that excited to have a hotly contested primary given kind of they have bigger fish to fry here. But, you know, I also think it's very possible it might happen.
Terry.
Well, interestingly, Tim Ryan's got some seriously considered because he moved out and abandoned the Mahoning Valley to come to Columbus. He's a high-paid lobbyist for natural gas and crypto people, both of which are anathema to a lot of the Democrat base and liberal coalition. So Tim Ryan's going to have to think hard. And also, I don't think Amy Acton's just going to get out of the way because Tim Ryan says he wants to jump in because there's a lot of Democrat women in Ohio who felt that women have been neglected by some of the power brokers in the Democrat Party.
Herb, to win the governor's race, you have to win the cities as a Democrat, and you have to not lose by as much in the rural areas.
Exactly.
Amy Acton, because of COVID and the shutdowns, is very unpopular in rural areas. Would Tim Ryan be a better candidate to try to capture some of that rural Ohio vote?
I think at the margins, but not dramatically so. And I think Acton realizes that. I think she's going to have a lot of emphasis on issues of health and, you know, public safety, if you will, that will focus, that will play well in rural areas. But all you're doing there is trying to lose 60-40 rather than 70 or 80-20.
Laura, you know, the Senate race is two old hands, one a little bit older than the other. This would be two relative newcomers to politics anyway. Ramaswamy's been around. Amy Acton, of course, with COVID was well known. But they really haven't run.
Tim Ryan, definitely. He's an old hand for sure.
Yeah, if it's Amy Acton versus Ramaswamy as well.
Yeah, it's two very atypical candidates against each other. I think Ramaswamy's name ID is really shot up there. He's everywhere all the time. Amy Acton, I think, has residual name ID from COVID and all the, you know, 2 o'clock press conferences where she gave updates. And I think she has a very non-traditional approach into politics that might be appealing to the general election voter.
Who energizes the Democrats in the state more, Tim Ryan or Amy Acton?
Amy Acton.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And one thing we haven't talked about is, you know, what will the general tenor of politics be nationally at the state level in the midterm election? Will Trump really be very unpopular? Will Ramaswamy, who early on, before he was really very active in this campaign, made a number of incredibly, I thought, stupid comments about property taxes, desirability of homeschooling, and things like that. And
Andrew, I assume there probably will be discussions between Amy Acton and Tim Ryan as to, do you want to avoid this primary? Would one consider being lieutenant governor? Everyone assumes Amy Acton would be the lieutenant governor, but we shouldn't assume that just because maybe she has less experience in statewide politics than Tim Ryan does, but that's the only thing that separates them.
Yeah, those conversations might happen. There's kind of a schism in the Democratic Party. Amy Acton is affiliated with Sherrod Brown's campaign. He has some Sherrod people or kind of help basically her key people in her campaign. Tim Ryan has kind of a different set of consultants. So I don't know if that kind of petty stuff matters with things like this. But like I said, I mean, I know I talked to Joe Rigola, who's a big labor leader here, and he kind of said that he wouldn't mind there being a primary. But it'd be interesting to see if that kind of sentiment exists if it starts getting ugly, you know, and personal. So I really don't know where this is going to go, but I'm sure that there will be conversations to try to prevent a primary in a state where Democrats are so disadvantaged.
And the Ramaswamy people in some ways might prefer running against Tim Ryan because his 20-year record in Congress is pretty much a vacant, empty ship. And there's a lot of other votes and other things that make it easier to go after. So it'd be interesting to see which would be stronger. But I think there's some real divisions out there. And again, his lobbying business makes him pause. Does he really want to give up all that money to run? And will it make the parts of the Democrat base unhappy with him?
Now, after that conversation, Tim Ryan announced he would make up his mind before September 30th on whether or not to run for governor. So we may have another month to wait there. And Amy Acton, though, she told WOSU's Amy Jurevich that she is in the governor's race to stay. We shall see. My thanks to Republican strategist Terry Casey, political scientist Herb Asher, as well as State House reporters Laura Bischoff of the USA Today Ohio Network and Andrew Tobias of Signal Statewide. We'll be right back.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. And this week it goes to Ohio State University. There is a long tradition on campus of student activists using sidewalk chalk to advocate for a cause, to campaign for student government, to alert their students of a weekend social gathering. It's generally pretty harmless because it is chalk. The messages last only until the next rain. But no more. OSU leaders have banned chalking on university sidewalks. The university says chalking now violates university signage standards,
which is a comprehensive system of building pedestrian and vehicular wayfinding signage designed to create a consistent experience for information needed when navigating Ohio State campuses. So chalking got in the way of navigating the Oval. Just a hunch. As someone who runs through the OSU Oval a couple of times a week, I've seen a lot of these chalk messages. I suspect the messages about the war in Gaza may have prompted the new standard. OSU has been very careful not to be seen as taking a stand that might get the attention of the Trump administration. Maybe that's the reason, or maybe the OSU officials just want to be neat. Whatever the reason, for targeting chalked sidewalks on campus, OSU administrators get our Snollygoster of the Week award. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. We are part of the NPR network. Please try to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. Just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.